Hour number two, Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode. Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, Jared Stillman from Stillman & Company. Jared, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me. It's such an honor and a pleasure.
I'm sure that it is. I will give you this opportunity to gloat for your victory yesterday in Jared versus Joe. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this has been a long time coming. I think that it was nice to have the judge with some sense this time. And I thought that the ruling was fair and final. And like the NFLPA and Deshaun Watson's camp, I vow to not appeal the ruling from the judge, and I would hope that Joe would do the same.
I mean, first of all, you make Ian last week go find audio of people talking about interceptions after we talked about interceptions, and the poor guy still gifts you the victory. I don't know, man. I feel for Ian. I feel for Ian.
Do you know how hard that was for Ian to do?
But it was still stupid to even ask him to do it.
Ian goes into the soundbites folder to last year, to August, puts in the word interceptions, and then puts just all the clips over into one file. It probably took, if I had to guess, A minute.
Okay, we're going to ask Ian that. A minute. Yeah, Michelle is shaking her head. I furiously. I totally agree. It's fine. I'm a little bit mad at Ian for gifting you that victory, but I still feel for him.
So, and Jared, I love Michelle, but Michelle doesn't have the wizardry tactician skills over the years that Ian has developed. It's like the difference between being a veteran and, you know, a couple years in the league. That Michelle's a couple years in the league. She's getting there. But Ian is like that blackjack dealer that can deal out the cards faster than anybody else. And so, trust me, that did not take him long. To disprove your take last week that there was no coverage of Tannehill's interceptions in training camp.
No, coverage that he had a terrible camp. Again, you didn't even listen when you started to do this stupid crap. Listen to the words, Jared. I said we talked about the interceptions, and then you're like, hey, go find interceptions. We talked about the interceptions. We talked about that. You don't listen. Go ahead, Robbie. Sorry.
Jared, I do want to get your thoughts on Malik Willis and what you've seen thus far during camp. What have been your impressions, and what does, I guess, what you've seen of him so far make you think of what he could be as he moves forward here?
Well, right now he stinks. I mean, there's no way around that. Now, I don't know this, and I actually said this the other day, like, take Wes Steckel, for instance. And this is the one part where I don't love the fact that Wes Steckel's kid is coaching on the Titans staff, because, you know, then Wes kind of has to keep it to the vest. But I would love to have Wes Steckel watch Malik, or after the first preseason game, and I would love to ask Malik or Wes Steckel about what he sees in Malik, because Wes Steckel was the quarterback coach when Steve McNair came in. And when Steve McNair came in, they said, hey, 2 years. McNair will not be ready for 2 years. And they told the media that, and they told the fans that. And they took him with the third overall pick, not in the third round. I don't know if this is where Malik is supposed to be. Like, if this is where a third-round quarterback who's got potential, and Malik's got a strong arm, and it, by all accounts, it sounds like Malik is a smart kid and a good kid. And I think those are important. But on the actual field, Malik stinks. And this is not, I feel like, hyperbole to say that Malik has been way, way, way worse than Logan Woodside. And Logan Woodside has not been pretty out there at training camp. I got to be – every training camp, I feel like that I stand there on the sidelines, I keep wondering why Logan Woodside's on the team. And then they bring somebody in there to beat him out, and they never do. So this training camp, somebody texted the text line the other day and asked, you know, who's the best option at quarterback after what you've seen at training camp? And I'm like, Tannehill. Like, and I think that's like the least controversial take of all time. Maybe Malik stinks, or maybe this is just the process. I don't know. But for right now, I mean, he can't play in an NFL game. If what happened to Tony Romo and Kellen Moore 6 years ago or whatever, where Moore broke his leg in practice and Romo broke his collarbone in a preseason game, and Dak Prescott, the third-string quarterback, started for the Cowboys and took that job and never gave it back. If that situation happened here, the Titans would go out and get another Shanahan system quarterback to either back up Tannehill or, if that happened, to then play over Malik.
Yeah, but are you surprised by what you've seen? This is a guy who, the word was, you can see the talent. You can also see tremendous inconsistency. And he went in the third round. I mean, I don't watch Malik Willis daily and think, oh, man, this is way worse than I expected. That's the case for you?
I'm not going to have a heart attack over the idea that Malik Willis, you know, looks the way he looks. That's why I'm asking. Like, I don't know if this is natural. I don't know if this is what it was supposed to be. I certainly didn't think Malik Willis was going to come in here and start. And, I mean, look at the other quarterbacks, too. Kenny Pickett was a first-round quarterback. And because of that, and because of Kenny Pickett's age, I kind of assumed that Kenny Pickett was going to be the starter in Pittsburgh. And he's not. Mitchell Trubisky is going to win that job. And I think Mason Rudolph might be the backup in Pittsburgh this season, and Pickett would be the third stringer. And that, I think, is alarming. That is eye-opening of, wow. I mean, those draft gurus said this quarterback class sucks, but, I mean, they're not lying here. And Matt Corral, they've already traded for Baker Mayfield over Matt Corral in Carolina. Desmond Ritter's not going to be the quarterback there. Arthur Smith in the first week announced that Mariota was the starter.
Well, that's a no-brainer. Come on.
I mean, I don't know. Like, Marcus, whatever.
That was just a joke. Keep going. That,
but,
yeah, he's skipping rocks.
I guess for me, like, just because the expectations were low doesn't mean that, and I'm just not a quarterback guru to sit there and say, okay, that throw that he threw that was 8 feet behind Cody Hollister and would get him killed, that is going to, by next year, be a beautiful, on-the-line, crisp pass right into the hands of Treylon Burks. I just don't know that.
Jared Stillman on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Jared, I want to throw this question out to you that we discussed yesterday. What, in your mind, does Derrick Henry have to prove this year? And we kind of took this discussion yesterday in terms of his path to the Hall of Fame. Well, how would you go about answering that question?
You know, I don't know why I felt so bad for Derrick Henry when he got hurt, because the individual award stuff, I never get too excited about. You know, the campaigns that the Predators have for Roman Josi to win the Norris Trophy, I don't care about. Mike Vrabel winning Coach of the Year, I don't care about. And I don't know why I don't care about it. I don't care who on the Titans makes the Pro Bowl. But as a kid, I always used to care about, you know, who would make the Pro Bowl or who on the Braves would go to the All-Star game. And I don't know, maybe I just am not fun anymore. I don't know. But with Derrick Henry, when he got hurt, and I was listening to this show on my drive back from the World Series with my dad, and Robbie, you said it right there, we got breaking news, and I'm thinking, okay, what's this? And then you said Derrick Henry broken foot, and I immediately sat up like, oh, no. And the oh, no was probably for the Titans, but also for Derrick, because I felt like it was all in front of him. I thought he was going to get his third consecutive rushing title. I thought there was a pretty good chance he was going to run for 2,000 yards. This team had basically locked up the division the day before. I mean, I thought that that was going to be Derrick Henry's ticket to Canton. You win three straight rushing titles and a 2,000-yard seasons, and you're in my opinion. And so I felt so bad for Derrick because it was so close and it wasn't his fault. I would agree with you guys that, like, if Derrick goes back to being Derrick Henry and wins a third rushing title, I still don't know if that gets him into the Hall of Fame. Certainly a second 2,000-yard season would. I think for this Titans team, what I look at is the changes that they really made. Now, don't get me started on the offensive line because they did nothing there, and I think it's going to bite them in the butt like tight end did last year. But the changes that they made, in my opinion, was to be less top-heavy offensively, where it was all designed for Derrick and AJ, and the ball had to go to those two guys. And I think there's going to be more spreading of the football around, kind of similar to 2020. Now, Derrick's still going to get the football like Derrick Henry should. But I think what that might do is it honestly might make it easier for the team to win big games, which is what they need, and it'll certainly probably take some stress off of Tannehill. If Derrick Henry can carry this team to the Super Bowl, I think that that also gets him in the Hall of Fame. So I think Derrick, like a 2,000-yard season gets him in, or a Super Bowl. But those are two pretty large extremes. But given his age and his lack of total yardage, like Eric Dickerson or O.J. Simpson or those kind of guys, I think Derrick would need one of those two extremes to get in.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that I think that if he wins another rushing title, comes back from this, gets over 10,000, which he certainly can do. He's also going to be judged. That's what's hard about these things. You're also judged against your peers in your era as well, right? So if you are the best of the best at your spot for a 5-year period or something like that, it's pretty compelling. But we'll see. I did want to ask you, Jared, a player in camp so far who has stood out to you who you didn't anticipate standing out.
I mean, can I say Roger McCreary? Because that I think is pretty cut and dry. But he was the second round pick, and I didn't really know anything about him. So is McCreary fair or not?
That's fine. I'm looking for a little bit more of a deep cut, but McCreary is he's playing well.
So I would say Racy McMath has been a guy who I really didn't have high hopes for. I thought McMath kind of screwed his chance last year in the Pittsburgh game when he fumbled the football in a spot where the Titans really needed him to not fumble the football. And I always looked at McMath as, he's a big built guy, but he's not super tall. And he's got good speed, but it's that straight line speed. It's not, I'm not sure that McMath is a burner at wide receiver like Chris Sanders. And all of a sudden, there have been a bunch of catches he's made, whether it's in one-on-ones or whether it's in, 7-on-7, where I see him make a play. And now I don't even look down and think about who number 13 is. I'm like, oh, good catch by McMath. And he's made a bunch of catches. And I think I said to you, Joe, the other day at practice, that I felt like McMath had kind of, right now, Traylon Burks is going to make the team, Robert Woods is going to make the team, and Nick Westbrook-Akeem is going to make the team, and then everybody else is fighting for positioning or spots. I think McMath might be the most solid number four because of the special teams element that he gives this team. And so, to me, I didn't go into camp thinking that Racy McMath had a spot on this team. And right now, while I wouldn't say he's a lock, and I think he'll play in the preseason games, I would say that I feel pretty comfortable Racy McMath's going to make this football team.
I got a text I want to read on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It says, for the first time since I've been listening to this radio station, Jared Stillman is actually being nice and not yelling. It's truly magical. I like him much better like this. Y'all need to have him on every morning. Jared, have we been some sort of calming influence on you this morning?
Well, you can ask Michelle how I felt when her and I connected here to chat with you guys. Michelle thought I was crying.
I was like, Jared, are you crying?
I was like, no, I'm tired. I just woke up. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe I'm like one of those children, like it takes me a little while to get going and I get wound up like a toy. But I'm in a bad mood today, and maybe this has just made me feel so much better.
What are you in a bad mood for? Yeah.
Well, so I have to miss practice today. Caroline's going to go and take all the notes and have all the hot takes. I have to miss practice today because I have a FedEx package that's arriving, and I have to be here within a 5-hour window. And if I'm not here within the 5-hour window, they won't take it to the FedEx location and drop it off and then let me go pick it up. They'll try to deliver it again tomorrow. And
what is it, a ladder?
No. And then I called FedEx, and I was like, hey, can you just leave it at the FedEx drop-off location that's literally like a block up from my house? No. We need you there to sign for the package. So I will be at home. If somebody wants to try to rob me, the time between 8 a.m. and 12:55 would not be a good time because I will most certainly be here. As I await FedEx's package and FedEx's strict rules, apparently. I mean, I'm probably one more FedEx problem away from calling Arthur Smith and saying, Coach, I mean, I can't miss practice. But apparently I'll be missing practice today. So I need to get married so then I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. And, somebody else could do that. Or at least it could be a system where if somebody else needed me to wait for a FedEx package, I could wait for their FedEx package. Or maybe I'll just, next time I buy things, say, if you ship with FedEx, I'm out.
It sounds like a Jared Stillman version of the Rex rant. Jared, great stuff. Appreciate you. Have fun at home waiting on FedEx, and we'll hear from you at 2 o'clock.
Joe, I'll need a full report from practice.
I got you. Yeah, I'll send you some video.
See you guys.
Jared Stillman, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Something interesting he hit on that I want to get Joe's thoughts on coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to 3 Ice, North America's premier 3-on-3 ice hockey league, which will be at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Saturday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to 3 Ice coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August the 6th, which is this Saturday. 615-737-1025. Thanks to Jared Stillman for joining us in the last segment. Joe, we've got a lot of thoughts on how nice Jared was and how calm he was on the text line. This could be good for him moving forward.
Yeah, maybe just sort of half asleep Jared is the preferred Jared, you know? I thought maybe, you know, if he was crying, it was just like, you know, bad take regret. Does he wake up every day and just, oh, my God, my take yesterday? You know, I don't know. Forgot to ask him that. We'll ask him next time.
Got a text that says, if you really want to fire him up, tell him Dylan Radins has been a great player during training camp. Maybe we should have gone that route. So, Joe, he did bring up Malik Willis and says that he is stuck so far. What were your thoughts on, I guess, Jared's thoughts on Malik Willis, and has it been anything unexpected with Malik Willis thus far?
Yeah, he's been inconsistent. He has struggled at times, just flat out, you know, stonk. You know, it's probably a little bit much. He's had some terrific throws. I thought overall the other day when they gave him the long period, I think it was a good thing for him. There were some good things in there. There were some mistakes in there too. I'm not all that surprised by where he is. You know, Malik Willis coming out of the draft, you know, there were, you know, of course people put together these video clips, and you put together the good for him, it's eye-popping, right? It's like, woo, man. But people also someone put together like a series of bad plays too, and it was like, In some cases, like, holy cow, how did that throw go there? I mean, inconsistency has been the thing, and I think, you know, he talked about it the other day, Malik Willis did. The footwork sort of matching up with what you're seeing in your – I mean, the mechanics need a lot of work. And I think he's actually changed – he looks different throwing the football to the naked eye, and I'm with Jared. I'm not a quarterback's coach, but you can see if somebody's motion is different, right? If their mechanics are different. And I think they've done quite a bit of work on that from the start of the spring to now. He said he's light years different and better than from the spring than he is now. I don't doubt that in terms of recognition and understanding the offense and all these things that you have to do. You're swimming mentally as a rookie quarterback in this league, which is why I don't even – like Jared's talking about Pickett, you know, being some surprise that like Trubisky would be ahead of him. I'm not surprised by that either. It's you're talking about rookie quarterbacks, and yes, Pickett, you know, had been there for a long time and all that stuff, and maybe some people thought he was more ready-made to play, but you're still talking about, you know, in Trubisky, like a guy who has talent and who hasn't been able to put it all together.
I'd be surprised if he was the third stringer, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he took the guy in the first round, and he's a third stringer behind Mason Rudolph.
If that's the case, I agree. But here, we expected Malik Willis to be a third stringer, right? And I think he will be. So it's just going to be interesting. It's not all that surprising. Obviously, first of all, like anybody, I mean, you know, they draft him, and people are talking about when's he taking Tannehill's job. That was completely a take from Pluto from the start, and never had any chance of happening. I mean, just zero chance. But it's just going to be really fascinating to see, because right now, they're in the process of doing, they're trying to work with him, improve him, but they're also trying to figure out, like, does this guy actually have a chance to be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans in the future? I'm not ruling that out yet. But certainly there's a lot of work to get him to that point. And I do have my doubts that even a year from now he would be ready, but yeah, you just don't know that. He's got preseason games. He's got tons of reps ahead. And certainly there are players who are one thing when they come into the NFL and become something very different in the early stages of their career. This actually can happen.
Do you think that Racy McMath is playing his way on to this team from the standpoint of what Jared just threw out there of not only the camp that he's had thus far catching the ball, but also the special teams role that he brings to the table? We've talked about the competition at receiver, Des Fitzpatrick, Kyle Phillips. There's a lot of different options that they have. Do you think that Racy McMath is carving out an unquestioned role for himself on this team with the camp that he's had thus far?
I don't know about unquestioned, but I'd say in pretty good shape right now. I haven't talked to Racy yet, but one thing that stands out to me is last year, of course, he's wearing Jonnu Smith's number from the year before, 81, and it was like, gosh, he's not that much smaller than Jonnu Smith. And, of course, you know, you had the A.J. Brown, Julio Jones comparison, but just
– oh, yeah.
You know, very big and fast, but he looks to me quite slimmed down. And, yeah, he just looks a lot better running routes. I think Des Fitzpatrick also has improved. But if that's going to translate for Racy McMath to being more effective on special teams, then he's a lock, right? I mean, I think that's probably his path, and that's why I picked him to make the team going in without really having any idea that he would be as improved as he appears to be as a receiver. He's certainly making a lot more plays. But, yeah, I like his chances. I think after that obvious top three, I still think Phillips makes it. McMath, and then I think Dez probably gives you a six receiver room if they're going to go to six.
Well, I was going to say, it puts Dez Fitzpatrick in an interesting spot because if McMath is in there, I think Kyle Phillips is going to be in there. Well, that's five right there. So is Dez going to be your six? That's going to be – I mean, the order is up in the air, so we'll see what happens there. But in terms of the six that you're keeping, or maybe they go seven, like you said in your initial 53-man roster projection, it could happen.
I've changed that,
but I know you have. But it does make me wonder, like if McMath is going to make the team – what does that mean for Des Fitzpatrick? It's going to be interesting. We'll continue this discussion, get more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at Twin Peaks. They'll hook you up for your fantasy football draft party, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. And when you're not on the clock, you can relax with Twin Peaks, one of the refreshing 29-degree beers, or order for the whole team with a peak sampler full of fan favorites, or indulge in shareables like the double stack nachos, loaded fries, and multiple flavors of boneless wings. Call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869. That's 615-221-0869. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are your racing station. 102.5, 106.3, The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Firekeepers Casino 400. Also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for racing weekend. NASCAR on 102.5, 106.3, The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll have Mike Herndon from PaulKaharski.com coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll discuss his new role with PK and look ahead to some of the things that he's lined out analytically for the Titans as well, coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So a day off for the Titans yesterday on the field, Joe, back out there today as training camp ramps up here in – we get closer to the preseason games, now a week away from Baltimore week. What are you looking for as training camp continues to progress here now that we're starting to get a little bit deeper into it with preseason games right around the corner?
Well, you know, really we're kind of in the home stretch a little bit. Now I say that understanding that the Bucks and Cardinals will come in here, so there'll be some really interesting practices to watch there and some things to find out. But to me, this is kind of the home stretch of the discovery period of training camp. You know, as soon as the games start, of course, a lot of known commodities and key players are not going to be on the field when the Titans play the Ravens next week. But the guys who are, you know, who are fighting for jobs or jockeying for position in the depth chart, who are in a lot of cases young, trying to establish themselves, will be on the field. And so that'll be the chance for fans to at large to watch this team. So this initial period where I think training camp's really interesting and every day you discover something, you know, it kind of takes a turn, and then we can all kind of see whoever's on the field, what they do, and you go from there. So that's a long preamble to say I'm primarily looking at right tackle, left guard, Chigakonkwo, as a blocker. I mean, these, you know, whatever you can look at in the trenches with pads on, that, to me, that's the most interesting thing. And look, the offensive line, I'm not any different than I was going into camp. I am different because I thought offensive line and receiver were close. They're not close to me. Receiver, not saying everything's solved, everything's going to be great this year, but I feel a lot better about their receiving core now than I did going into camp with the way Robert Woods has healed and is playing, the way Treylon Burks obviously is playing every day. We've talked about Racy McMath, Fitzpatrick. I mean, it's better than I expected. Offensive line is by far the biggest concern on the team.
So with that in mind, as you look at the rest of camp here, do you feel any differently about guys like Treylon Burks and Caleb Farley? Because those are probably the two guys we talked about the most in terms of actual preseason game playing time, like needing Treylon Burks to get every rep he can get, Caleb Farley getting every rep and every bit of experience he could get before the season. We wondered how Vrabel would handle that. So far, a couple weeks into camp, does it change the way that you view those two and the playing time that they may get? Have you seen enough out of Burks and Farley to convince you that probably not going to see much of them in the preseason, or do you still think that they could get some significant playing time?
That's a great question. I don't know. I feel like they both need to play. I've thought that. I certainly, before Burks, you know, played like he is now, I really thought, he's got to play in those preseason games, right? Does the fact that he's playing so well right now make Vrabel pause on that? Because, look, he's got to be a significant guy in this offense this year. I don't know. And then Farley, he's had so many injuries, and I think that's probably the reason he doesn't play a ton in the preseason. But I think that if you're going to start him at cornerback and he's going to play and be as key as he looks like he's going to be this season, I can make the case for him to get out there and play some football. That's going to be, I guess, based on what we've seen from Vrabel, if I had to guess, man, I'd say not a ton. I'd say not a ton of action for both of those guys. It's like at some point, like you still, if you go back last year, there's still like starters and some key players who played some in those preseason games,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you've got to, like, I feel like a Roger McCreary is going to play a pretty decent amount. I feel like again, you got to get a guy ready to play in a season. It's amazing how it's changed with preseason games and how coaches have looked at it. You had the devastating injury here and there going way back, but it was a guarantee. Like your third preseason game, your starters are going at least a half. You know, it's the dress rehearsal. But I guess it's one of those things where, like, okay, well, if everybody else is not going to play their guys, then it's less harmful for us to not have that dress rehearsal. And then, of course, as we've talked about, these practices have kind of replaced that against other teams.
I just, from Caleb Farley's perspective, and I know it's a cornerback, so it's not like we're talking linebacker out there or anything. But honestly, I'd like to see him deal with some contact and how he responds to that, like making a tackle and – you know, you can simulate contact in practice, and certainly when the Bucs and Cardinals come around, I mean, you'll have some physical plays out there. But even then, it's not like you're going to be driving guys into the ground. Like, there's a certain amount of risk that comes with that. I understand that. But, like, at some point, you've got to weigh risk, reward, and you've got to say, well, he's also at some point got to play some football and get out there and see how his body responds to it. So I still, just my own personal view, I still wouldn't be opposed to maybe seeing Caleb Farley play a little bit in the preseason, maybe even Treylon Burks, but although with each passing practice, I'm maybe shifting the way I view Treylon Burks in terms of his preseason playing time. But like Caleb Farley, I'd like to see how he responds to some contact. And it's got to happen at some point. Maybe you do just save it until the regular season, but at some point he's going to have to get out there and, you know, actually play football and see how his body responds to that.
Well, and another difference there is, you know, the Burks value, maybe it's a little bit diminished because it's not like Tannehill's throwing him the ball, right? Now, look, he's still right. Out. Like, there's still value, I think. But that doesn't translate as well as, like, just playing corner, you know, it's like making calls on defense, different coverages, yeah, just bumping at the line, whatever it is. Like you said, making tackles in the open field, there's probably a little bit more value for him. It's just interesting because there's this fear of playing players in the preseason games that, again, has changed quite a bit, shifted quite a bit. And I think Vrabel's right at the forefront of, not going to get someone hurt in this. But is it real – like, is a preseason game, a few series of a preseason game, is it actually – any more potentially harmful than like when they have these practices? I mean, they get intense. These guys go at each other. It's two different teams, so it's not the same as intra squad where there's a little bit of holdup usually, right? There's no holdup, and it's best against best, and a lot of individuals and stuff like that. I mean, you can get hurt in one of those too. Not to mention, by the way, that. How many like ACLs and stuff are just like non-contact, excuse me, you know, cutting on a going against air anyway? I mean, it's just an interesting question of being afraid of injury, but also like getting that work and getting the value out of the work. If you're going to have these practices, which are great, I think, for teams, I don't see why a few series in a preseason game is like way more dangerous. I mean, I guess everybody's watching, so then people get more mad if you get hurt in that. I don't know. To me, there's still some value in letting guys get some work in those games.
Ron, on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, do you think the Titans should have more right tackles or linemen in practice, knowing that we need to fill that spot, than we do with receivers? I just think that right tackle is more important than a fifth or sixth wide receiver. This is coming from Ron on the text line.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to understand it. So, in other words, do you think that they should add more right tackles to the roster?
I guess carry more offensive linemen in hopes that somebody works out at right tackle. I guess that's what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean you've got to find a starter you feel good about, and you got to find a third tackle you feel good about, and I think at this point probably. Dylan Radin starts. Probably Nicholas Petitfrere is your swing tackle. You have Jamarco Jones, who has played outside and inside. So, I mean, look, if you can go out and find someone who could upgrade you, then great. But as far as just like having bigger numbers, I don't think that's I think they're going to keep 8 or 9 linemen overall. They do have some guys who have some versatility and can move around. So I think they could get away with 8, but
this again to me goes back to it's less about the numbers and it's more about is there anybody that's a quality starter?
Yes.
Like I think they're in an okay spot with the numbers that they have. Does anybody that they have, can they actually start and hold up in an NFL game? That to me is the question.
Yeah, and look, like in the preseason game coming up, you will get a chance to see, you know, they're not going to be going against starters, but like Jalen McKenzie, you know, Christian DeLauro. I mean, they've got some of these reserves. It is important, to be able to have people come in. Everybody, you know, injuries happen. You know, Jared brought up the other day the Houston Texans, Mike Vrabel's second game, you know, of his tenure after the disaster in Miami. Comes home, they have no Conklin, they have no Lawan. I mean, they got the Tyler Maritz coming up from the practice squad and did okay. Like, you do have to have depth at those spots. And obviously last year was the ultimate example of a coaching staff and a front office that was able to plug in guys and get decent football out of them. But to be what you want to be this year, yeah, you got to have a legit starter. And you got to be better at right tackle. I don't know if they're going to be better at right tackle than what they got from David Questenberry last year, and that's a little bit scary.
Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rex Rhodes' rant of the day. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Beautiful song bringing us back in. Joe Rex Road, I turn things over to you.
There's some text line. So people, John says, the diet is changing you, Joe. I'm becoming less irascible. Is that true? That's not good for the Rex Rant.
I will say your
it should
hair
make me
stayed,
more irascible.
Your hair stayed perfectly in place while Jared was on. He was calm. There were people asking us on the text line if that was really Jared because apparently his voice didn't sound the same. There's a lot going on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com right now.
Someone said it's like when Gilbert Godfrey just talked in a regular voice. I thought that was pretty good. Hello, everybody. That's Gilbert right. Godfrey here. All right. Sorry, that was my little – I still got a little bit mad. You know, the whole like, hey, we talked about the interceptions. Hey, Ian, go find where they talked about interceptions. Well, we already said we talked about interceptions. Look, I proved it. We talked about interceptions. Yeah, we said we talked about interceptions. So see, now the blood pressure's rising a little bit. So let's go into this. This is actually less of a rant and more of a, let's say this is a, and this is specifically targeted for parents of teenagers. And I know that I've kind of talked about stuff like this before, but let me just, I'm not bringing this up for any particular reason, not talking about anyone in particular.
Obviously not.
It's just sort of a philosophical question. How the hell do you punish teenagers?
Like, take your phone away.
No. See, that's what you think, but then you can't track them.
Well, why are they leaving the house?
You know what? I think you ask a very valid question. But
take the car keys.
When people become nearly adults, and let's say, well, but not everybody has car keys. Again, I'm just saying generalities here, okay? Just talking, you know, just spitballing a little bit. But I really need to know what is a punishment? Like, for me, it was you're grounded, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're grounded. And you are going to not have TV. You're going to stay in the house. And it's pretty simple. But the thing is, phones, not only are they required to keep track of where children are, they're also required, allegedly, in all manner of schoolwork and things like that. So if you
true?
I mean, this is what I've been told from certain people. You know, friends of friends with kids who are teenagers. I've been
sources.
Told this. Yeah, sources. Yeah. It's exactly. So if there's constantly this, well, gotta use my phone. Gotta have my phone. Gotta do this with the phone. Gotta have it so we can know where you are. Like you said, you can say don't leave, but then every single thing that anyone cares about anymore is in their phone.
Yeah.
So I'd like to actually, I'm putting this out for anyone out there who'd like to respond, like what are you supposed to do anymore?
Well, there are extremes that you can go to. For example, like certain maybe extracurricular activities that people may or may not enjoy, you can take some of those away. You can limit some of those extracurricular activities. That's an extreme step when you're talking about, I don't know, maybe sports come to mind.
Well, that's, but, yeah, and I hear you. But the problem there is I think that's probably as good. I mean, look, let's face it. A lot of parents, I'll just go ahead and throw myself in here. A lot of parents rely on teachers and coaches to help them parent their kids.
That is correct.
And I think that sports is one of the best ways for someone to grow into a responsible adult who kind of gets it and understands the value of teamwork and not just being totally self-centered and on and on and on. There's tons of benefits. So, and plus, if a team is counting on someone, then you're kind of screwing over other people too, right? So
that is true.
So that's,
but it's a lesson.
Yeah. I mean, look, I hear you. It's just that one's tough. Now, Jonathan in East Nashville says make them volunteer at a homeless shelter. I agree. Things like that have a ton of value. But, again, I'm talking about – but that to me shouldn't be a punishment. That should be, you know, volunteering and getting involved should be this is a good thing for you even if things are going well, right? Like I'm talking about what can you actually take away? Now –
there's, I mean, copious amounts of yard work would be the way that I would handle this situation. Like, I would make up yard work chores. Even if I had just cut the grass, I'd be like, you know what? Get you a pair of scissors. Get out there by the sidewalk. Some of that grass is a little bit uneven. I need you to chop this thing up with the scissors and make sure it's as even as possible. Just start making stuff up. For those out there struggling with this, I'm not talking about you, but, like, those out there that are struggling with this problem, potentially, with teenagers.
It's a good idea. The problem is some people, as I've heard from sources,
won't do it.
Don't do it.
I have a suggestion. I like Robbie's, but the whole phone thing, you can get an app where they have to download it on their phone. So you download it on their phone, download it on your phone, and you can block certain apps or certain contacts. Ooh. So essentially, like, you could make sure that you could call them or text them. And you could make sure that the Find My iPhone was still on, but you could block, like, Instagram, TikTok, and that's really annoying because my mom has done it. My mom has done it with my little sister, and she'll start screaming. She's like, "What? What'd you do to my phone? Why is it locked?" And that's almost like, okay, you have your phone, everything you need to do. Call me. I know where you are, and all this stuff. But they can't actually do the fun stuff on it.
A parent who may be interested in such things, whoever it may be. With a child,
sources,
whoever that child may be, might find that very intriguing. What's the name of that app?
I gotta text my mom and ask, but I'm getting the information because I know a certain someone who is related to this show that would get, he would be fuming, or she.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who that is. I will say one thing that as when the day comes where there is parenthood. And children that I'm responsible for and that I'm in charge of. One thing that I'm not really looking forward to, and everybody says this, like, and this is one of my favorite things ever. When, like, the new parents, and I got a lot of friends right now in that age group where there's some kids coming along. And it's like I'm not gonna let my kid have the iPad until they're like 7, or I'm not giving my kid a phone until they're like 12 or 13. And it all sounds great, and that's kind of the way I think too. And then real life hits, and you're like, oh, this child won't stop screaming. What will distract them? Oh, look, an iPad is sitting over there. Let's go grab that thing. Like, this is the thing with parenthood at some point around my corner, hopefully, that I'm not looking forward to in terms of the electronics. I mean, it was bad when I was growing up. You know, we didn't even really have smartphones. I cannot imagine what this is about to look like, not only now, but as the future continues to unfold here.
Yeah, I've seen some people have success with that early, more than others, who will not go named, who did not have success with that. But yes, it's very, I do wonder, like, going back, like, okay, I guess there was a television. You can plunk somebody, like when I was a kid, though, and we didn't have any of this stuff. I mean, honestly, when I was little, you even have, like, handheld, like, Coleco football game with little dots. Beep, beep, beep. Like, that was like fourth grade. So I don't know how the heck the older generations figured it out, but you're right. That is much easier said than done, and everybody says it, and not that many people pulled off. Dennis on the test line says, face it, you can't punish them. They've won, and they know it. You may be right, Dennis.
The app's called.
What's the app?
It's Parental Control. That's literally what it's called.
Dude, it sounds imposing too. Well, I'll tell my friends with problematic yeah, teenagers about that. Thank you.
I'll take the commission if it works.
There's a lot of thoughts on the text line about this.
You can always go old school and tell them to go pick out their own switch or their own belt.
Oh, man.
It used to happen to me.
Oh, man, that's – yeah, that's – to pick the tool of punishment, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds great.
Do people do that anymore? Is that a thing anymore? I'm thinking no.
Not a ton. Not a ton, I wouldn't think. But I just like the idea of a switch. Or you hear – you know, you hear stories about not a frying pan, but
– a paddle?
Yeah, like – man, but there's something else. It's a word that's eluding me.
I don't know.
Well, there's also the yardsticks in school you heard about.
Oh, yeah. That used to – oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to come after me with a fly swatter, and I always pretended like it hurt. So she'd keep coming at me with a fly swatter, but it did not hurt at all.
That's a good idea. Like, oh, man, that thing is killer. Oh.
That's very painful. Please use this as your instrument every time. I will learn my lesson. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Herndon from PaulKarski.com. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.